For those of you who are football fans, tonight begins the NFL. Tonight is the first game in Canton, Ohio. And this is training camp for many of the NFL teams. I'm reminded of the great coach Vince Lombardi of the Green Bay Packers, who always started every single training camp holding a football and said, "This is a football." Now, these were professional men. These were men who knew the game of football, but he always started with the basics. He always started with the fundamentals, and the very next thing that he would do would be to teach them about blocking and tackling. Today, we're going to have a message from our coach, not Mark, not Pastor Mark, but Jesus himself. As a coach, before he sends out his team, before he sent out the 72, he gives them a pep talk in Luke chapter 10, verses 1 to 16. So I invite you to open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 10 at the very beginning. And in here, in this pep talk, in this coach's instructions to us, we're going to find 9 different principles of ministry. You know, this is a ministry that we all participate in. Ministry is not a spectator sport. Some churches think that. Some churches think that you hire the pastor to do the ministry. That's not what you got here. You hire the pastor here to encourage you to do the ministry. We're all involved in ministry. So this is not a pep talk for pastors. This is a pep talk from the coach through the pastor to you, the players in ministry. And we see in this process 9 different principles, 9 different fundamentals that we need to focus our attention on today. So let's get to it. Principle number 1 is the principle of partnership. Partnership. We are in this together. Verse 1, chapter 10, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them 2 by 2. How did he send them? 2 by 2. How did he send them? 2 by 2. Ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. Jesus never ever intended that we should attempt to work in his name for his church alone. We need each other. We are better together. And this principle is stamped throughout Scripture. From the very beginning in Genesis, we read that it was not good for man to be alone. When we get to Ecclesiastes 4:9, the book of wisdom, we see 2 people are better than 1 because they get more done by working together. Again and again, we see that the early church did ministry together. You see, community is God's answer to loneliness. Community is God's answer to recklessness. Community is God's answer to weakness. Community is God's answer to depression. Community is God's answer of feeling like we are all by ourselves. And when we work together, joy enters into the equation. We saw that joy standing up here, did we not? With the 5 men who were painting, who took it upon themselves to improve our nursery. What I was impressed by is that Dave didn't say, "I'm going to spend the summer painting the thing by myself." What did Dave do? Dave started talking to the other guys, and the guys got together. And I can promise you that while they got a lot of work done, they had a lot of joy doing it too. Because that's how ministry is done, when we do it right. Don't try to do ministry alone. When you've got a good idea for ministry, talk to others and see if they agree with you. See if they will partner with you. Going in a project all by your lonesome self, that is a sure sign that maybe you really don't have God's blessing. Maybe it's just an idea that came from that pizza last night. All right? So first principle is the principle of partnership. The second principle that we see in verse 2 is the principle of the finish. The principle of the finish. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. This is the principle of being able to understand that much of the work has already been done, that you don't have to start from scratch, that we carry forward what others have done before us. It's also the principle that work to be done is sometimes feeling like it's overwhelming and that it requires all hands on deck. Anybody ever work on a farm at harvest time? Because what does it say here? The harvest is plentiful. If you've ever worked on a farm at harvest time, man, you know it's all hands on deck time. And you don't have to be the one that planted it. You don't have to be the one that watered it. You don't have to be the one that got it to grow. When it's harvest time, you need all the harvesters that you can get. When I was a teenager, I had the opportunity to learn what real work was all about. Because I had a principal. This is a funny story. At the end of the school year, I got in trouble in my sophomore year. And I had to go see the principal on the last day of school, 7:15 in the morning. And I got a whack. I did. That's confession time. Kids, I'm sorry, you don't know what that is. That's when they take a board with holes in it, and they have you bend over, and they smack you on the butt. That's what they did to me. And as my eyes were watering up, and I was trying to compose myself, this principal, who's also a farmer, puts his paddle away and says, "Now, I need some help on my farm. I'm willing to pay you. Would you come work for me?" That's how I got my first job farming. And I never worked so hard that summer. And especially when the corn came in and you had to bale the hay. Oh my gosh, that is hard work. And it's all hands on deck. And Jesus tells us that that's what the work of the church is like for us. We serve in a church where we all do the work. That we're all ministers here. And we each have a responsibility to do the ministry. Do you have the eyes to see the finish? Do you have the eyes, God's eyes, to see the harvest and that much needs to be done? So we have the principle of partnership, the principle of the finish, and then we have number 3, the principle of weakness. The principle of weakness, verse 3. He says, "Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves." Wow. Lambs among wolves. That's not a pretty picture. We might also call this the principle of no excuses. You know what that's like, right? "Well, I could help, but I'm not really qualified. Well, I could do that, but I'm not sure really what I'd say. Well, I could help, but I don't know all the Bible verses. I need to study a little bit more. I'm not qualified. I'm not strong enough." Here's the truth for you. None of us are strong enough. That's what the principle of weakness is all about. We are all weak, and we need God's strength, and we need his partnership to be able to do what needs to be done. I guarantee you that if you were to take a survey of everybody in this church that is involved here in one way or another, and you were to ask them a year ago or 2 years ago, if they thought they'd be doing what they're doing here and doing now, if they thought they'd be qualified to do what they're doing here and doing now, they'd all tell you no. They would never think that they would be doing that. That's one of the benefits of a small church, that we all come together. And we don't say that we're not qualified. We don't say that we're not strong enough. We have a huge advantage. I don't know if you know this or not. I feel this. We have a huge advantage as a small church because we can't pretend that we're strong in people. We can't pretend that we're strong in money. We can't pretend that we're strong in resources. We can't pretend that we're strong in ministry. So what do we have to do? We always have to rely on God's strength to do what he does miraculously through us. And then we just do it. We get her done. Not because we're so strong, but because we're weak. And because we count on God. So we have the principle of partnership. We have the principle of the finish. We have the principle of weakness. And then number four, we see here the principle of focus. The principle of focus. Verse four. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals and do not greet anyone on the road. Wow. What's this all about? This is a principle against distraction. And oh, if there was ever a time to be reminded of this, it's right now. Because we are the most distracted people in history. Why? Because we're always distracted by our screens. Those little screens that we carry around in our pocket. We're always distracted by what's going on Facebook, by what's going on Twitter. I think if Jesus were being quoted today, maybe he would have said, and don't greet anybody on the internet. Now, don't get me wrong. Clearly, Jesus is not talking about not being friendly or not being sociable, because those are qualities that we need if we're going to accomplish the harvest, right? So that's not what he's talking about. So what's he talking about? He's talking about focus. Focus on the ministry. Keep your eyes on the ball. Be focused on the ministry. Be focused on God and his help. Be focused on God and his leading. And it's easier to be focused when you don't have your purse, or you don't have your suitcase, or you don't have your spare pair of shoes to back you up. What are you going to do then? You're going to get there and get there as quick as you can, right? You're going to be focused. Not only that, but you're going to do a lot of trusting. And that takes us to principle number five, the principle of trust. Yes, we have the principle of focus, but we also have the principle of trust. And we see this in verses 5-7. When you enter a house, first say peace to this house. And if someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, verse 7, stay there, assuming you find a good place. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. So here are following Jesus' ideas of ministry. When you get out into the ministry, what he's saying here is you don't have to have everything figured out. They didn't even know exactly where it was that they were going. They didn't know where it was that they were staying. They didn't know how it was that they were even eating. So how do we apply this principle of trusting to ourselves? I think it goes like this. Trust God for his help in whatever step you're in right now. Don't be thinking about the next step. Don't be thinking about the next thing that's coming down. Don't worry about all of using your brain to make out the whole plan, because we know it's God's plan that matters. And sometimes, I mean, I'm a planner, right? I mean, that's where you know, my background is at. And there just are some times where I have to say, I don't know the next step. I'm focused and I'm trusting in God right now, right here, where I am. Because I can see all kinds of permutations of how this thing could play out. And when I look at all those permutations of how this thing could play out, I just start to worry, and I get my eyes off the ball, and I stop focusing, and I stop trusting. And God's saying, I'm going to be there for you on that next step, just like I was there for you on this step. So focus on this step and get this step done. We live in this moment, trusting God to provide. Now, there's another idea here that I think we can also really apply to our ministry here at Church Requil. Do you see where he says, do not move around from house to house? Do you see that? This is the idea of trusting God to go deep with a few people rather than being shallow with a whole lot of people. So find a place to minister and then stay there. and allow God to let you work deeply into the life of somebody else. And maybe, just maybe, allow God to work deeply in your life too through the ministry of someone else. See how far you can minister with what you have right now without having to move from house to house. Okay? So we got the principle of, we're moving quick, aren't we? Principle of, this is like a coach's cheer, right? This is like a coach saying, before you go out on the gridiron, make sure you get that partnership thing going. Make sure you have the eyes on the finish. Make sure you understand to rely on my strength, not on yours. Make sure you keep focus. Make sure you keep trust. And then number six, we come to the principle of diplomacy. The principle of diplomacy. He says this in verse 8, when you enter into a town and you're welcomed, eat what is offered you. Now, some of us have no problems with that at all. But some of us might really struggle with that. And even if it's not about eating, I think all of us need to understand this principle. We need to hear it right now. Are we diplomatic with other people? Eat what is offered you. This is the idea that it's not all about you, and it's not all about your preferences. In fact, we could go even so far as to say, it's not even all about your convictions. Think about what Jesus was saying. His culture had hundreds of years of instructions about what you could eat and what you could not eat, what was considered to be clean and what was considered to be unclean. And many years later, the Holy Spirit would actually give instructions to Peter that he also would eat what was placed before him, and that included pork, which for a good Hebrew boy growing up was anathema. No way I'm going to eat that stuff. What could it be for you? What could it be for you? Let's put this in our lingo. What is it that you would refuse to eat? Or what would you refuse to do? Or where would you refuse to go? Let's not keep this so narrowed down to just the food we eat. You see, it's about our attitudes towards cleanliness, our attitudes towards our culture. You are not your own when you minister on behalf of Christ. There's a teaching that's been circulated among our evangelical churches for the last 100 years or so, and we see it so clearly today, sadly, that we all look for people in our church that's like us. That's where we are comfortable. So white folk like to look for white folk to worship with, and people of color like to look for other people of color to worship with. People that speak a particular language like to look for people that speak their language, and so on and so forth. We look for our preferences first when we search for a church. We worship with people who are like us. We look for people who are like us, our race, our social groups, our economic class, even, sadly to say, our smell. And if you don't believe that to be true, come here some Saturday night when people come in to get something to eat. Fact of the matter is, God loves every single person here, regardless of what we look like. Regardless of our preferences, regardless of the color of our skin, regardless of our culture, regardless of our smell. Diplomacy requires that Christ Church is never ever about our preferences, but always about His preferences. Should I say that again? The principle of the church, about Christ Church, is that it's never about us, it's all about Him. Consider what would have happened, and this just blows my mind away, but consider what would have happened if Jesus only saved people who looked like Him. In case you don't know it, Jesus was a Middle Eastern guy. He didn't look like any of us. In fact, when we see guys that look like him, we often go the other way. What if Jesus said, I'm only going to save guys that look like me. I'm only going to save gals that look like me. none of us would be saved. So let's not just look for people who look like us. We look for people who are loved by Jesus, and so we are diplomatic about their differences from us. The partnership, finish, weakness, focus, trust, diplomacy. And we're only two-thirds of the way through this sermon. Anybody feeling like the Holy Spirit's talking to you already? Here we come to the principle number 7, the principle of show and tell. The principle of show and tell. Heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God has come near to you. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think of this passage, when I think of the sending out of the 72, this is the first instruction that I tend to remember. In other words, when I think of this passage, this is what I think about it being all about. Isn't it fascinating that it's the 7th principle, and it only comes after the first 6? That you can really only do this principle of show and tell when you're working in partnership with others. You're never getting around to the work because you don't see the harvest, or that you're trying to do the ministry in your own strength, or you're distracted, or you're untrusting, or undiplomatic. If those things are true of you, you're never going to get around to the show and tell. You got to do the first 6 things first before you get to the principle of the show and tell part. But if you've done the first 6, then you are in for some amazing miracles. God is going to do some amazing stuff. Now, we need to break down this show and tell part. You got to pray for God to work. I want you to mark the first 3 Sundays in September down. We're going to spend 3 Sundays in September talking about prayer, talking about prayer that's effective, talking about prayer that gets things done. Make sure you come back for that. It's going to be a fantastic thing. So you pray for God to work because that's how he works in you, through prayer. You pray in faith before others when they share their need. You believe that God will answer, and then you are sensitive to how God may answer. Because oftentimes, we look for the grand, the unexplainable, the supernatural miracles, when often God answers inside of the ordinary and the natural. We just have to pay attention. Does that speak to your heart? How can I expect you to see the big things when you can't see the little things? You've got to keep your eyes open for the little things. And so when you're out and you're ministering to other people and you're praying with other people, the show and tell part would be for us to put words to God's solutions as his working in and through the little things of our life, and not to just chalk it up to something that's circumstantial. People are tending to do that. Remember when we prayed? A lot of times we pray for things, and we get things, and then we forget that we even prayed about it, that it just kind of worked out for us. Show and tell is not just the showing, but the telling. So the principle of partnership, the principle of the finish, the principle of weakness, the principle of focus, the principle of trust, the principle of diplomacy, and the principle of show and tell. And we still have 2 more. Number 8, the principle of God's judgment. The principle of God's judgment. We see this in verses 10 to 15. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but let me just read part of it. Jesus says this: it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted to the heavens? No, you will go down to Hades. Now, be very careful of how you apply this principle to your ministry. This is not giving you permission to be judgmental upon other people. If anything, this principle should motivate you to do all the more that you can with these other principles as best you can. Remember the diplomatic part? It's hard to be diplomatic when you're condemning somebody to hell. Right? We could also have named this the principle of rejection. The principle of rejection, because there's going to be many times in your ministry where you will be rejected. There'll be many times, hear me here, because some of you really struggle with this part. There'll be many times when you struggle with being misunderstood, when you will even be hated for the work that you do on Christ's part. And when that happens, not if, because Jesus is very clear that that will happen if we're faithful to him. When that happens, not if, remember that you don't have to be judgmental on somebody else, because God's judgment is fierce and sure and frightful and awesome. It almost makes you feel sorry for somebody else who's facing God's judgment without God's forgiveness. So when that happens, when somebody rejects you, when they don't respond the way that you wish they would, what does Jesus say here? Just move on. Just move on. There's this part in verse 11. Even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet. You see that? What's he talking about there? Any dust from your town, we wipe from our feet. You know, we take our sandals and we just clap them together. So there's nothing about this town that clings to me. Because I've done everything I can for you. I've done everything I know to minister to you, to love you. And so when we come to the end and you reject me and you reject God's love for you, I bear no responsibility. Jesus says that this is all about rejection. Remember, it's not about you, he says. It's about me. It's about him, right? So that brings us to our last principle, the one that I want to leave you with today, the principle of agency. The principle of agency. Whoever listens to you, verse 16, whoever listens to you listens to me. Whoever rejects you rejects me. But whoever rejects me rejects him who sent me. The reason this principle of agency is so important is that it frees us up to act on Jesus' behalf and not on our own behalf. We are not the principals here in this ministry. We do not own this ministry. We are agents in this ministry, working on behalf of the principal God himself. Now, some of you might struggle with the difference between the principles of principle and the principle of agency. But if you've ever sold a house, you know what this is all about. You could decide that you want to sell your house by yourself, and so you put up a sign that says, sale by owner. You're the principal. You own the house. You make the decisions. But most of the time when we sell our house, we go out and we find what? A real estate agent who represents us and puts a sign out and says, house for sale. And if you're interested, talk to me, the agent. But the agent will only sell the house if I as a principal or you as a principal agree to it, because it's your house and the agent is acting on your behalf. In this transaction of ministry, you and I are not the owner. You and I are not the principal. That is God's role. We're the agent. We're the one who represents him. And by the way, that should completely sober us when we think about how we act sometimes. Are we representing him well? When people accept you, they're accepting him. When people reject you, they're rejecting him. Again, think about that real estate agent. When someone accepts or denies a bid, it always goes back to the principal. It's not the agent's decision. It's the principal's decision. And the same is true for us in our work in the ministry. So the principles of partnership, the principles of finish, the harvest, the principle of working in God's strength and in my own weakness, the principle of keeping focused on him and in every single moment trusting him, the principle of diplomacy, representing God well, the principle of show and tell, just not looking for the quick, easy answers or circumstances, but say, God, how have you answered? And then put words to it. The principle of diplomacy and the principle of agent. How awesome and amazing. task that we have to represent Christ as his agents here on earth. Isn't that fantastic? God could do it all with a snap of his fingers or with the saying of his word, but instead, he chooses to work through you and through me. So what are you going to do this week? How well are you going to do Christianity this week? Let's pray together.